It's really good to be with you friends this morning. I've been away for the last 10 days overseas doing some lecturing and teaching. Last Sunday I was in Tampa, Florida, and while I was preaching the tropical storm blew up. I got a bit worried when the people named the tropical storm Debbie, and I knew it was time for me to come home. But it's really great to be back and to be sharing with you today. We have a reading that we're going to take from Luke. It's a very familiar reading, and I think it introduces us to the theme of loneliness very, very strongly. It's the time when Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane, and perhaps I can read it to you this morning. Jesus went out as usual to the Mount of Olives, and his disciples followed him. On reaching the place, he said to them, "Pray that you will not fall into temptation." He withdrew about a stone's throw beyond them, and he knelt down and he prayed. "Father, if you are willing, take this cup from me." And you will know that the cup was not taken from him. But not my will, but yours be done. And then an angel from heaven appeared to him and strengthened him. And being in anguish, that's a very strong word that, being in anguish, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was like drops of blood falling to the ground. When he rose from prayer and he went back to the disciples, he found them asleep, exhausted from sorrow. "Why are you sleeping?" he asked them. "Get up and pray so that you will not fall into temptation." I've often said, friends, that one of the great privileges of being a pastor is the privilege of getting close to people. And over the last 35 years or so, I guess, I've had the privilege of getting close to a lot of people and listening to people and being with folk. And one of the things I've learnt is that deep down in the human heart, and I haven't learnt this from a textbook or from lectures or from studies, but just from people, that deep down in the human heart, there is a deep, deep need to belong. I think that's the way God has made us. God has made us for connection, for friendship, for companionship. And when we do belong, our lives flourish. But when we don't belong, our lives often seem to wither away. And I think it's because of this deep need for belonging that loneliness can be such a terrible thing, such a tragic thing. It was Mother Teresa. Do you remember her? She used to work amongst the poorest of the poorest of the poor. And she said near the end of her life that she's discovered that poverty is not the greatest suffering. It is a suffering, but it's not the greatest suffering, she said. That the greatest suffering is the suffering of loneliness. She called it the cancer of loneliness. The cancer of loneliness. I think that's why the writer of Genesis, says, right in the first book of the Bible, it's not good for a human being to be alone. It's not good. It's not good. So let me just quickly make two observations about loneliness, and then perhaps we can move on to the more positive part of our message. I think the one observation that I would want to make, very simply, is, and I think you would agree with me, that there's so many different kinds of loneliness. So many different kinds of loneliness. The loneliness of grief. You lose someone that you have loved for a long, long time, who has held you, and you've held that person, and that person's no longer physically present with you. And the deep loneliness that comes with that. The loneliness of divorce, of a broken friendship, of a broken relationship. The loneliness of leadership. Those of you perhaps who really carry the responsibility of leadership for a company or for an organization. And just knowing that the buck stops with you. And people's livelihood depends upon you in some way. And just the loneliness of that, of knowing that. The loneliness of doing something wrong that you can't speak about to everyone. And you kind of carry the secret around. There's a loneliness about guilt. Terrible, terrible loneliness. The loneliness sometimes of singleness. When you just long for a partner and you pray to God for a partner and perhaps you don't have one. Or even the loneliness of a marriage. Meet so many people who are married but deeply lonely in their marriage. In their marriage. But I think the deepest loneliness, as we go through all these different kinds of loneliness, I think the deepest loneliness is what I call a spiritual loneliness. That I think every human being has a deep loneliness. Because there's no one really who can fully understand my heart in this world. No other human being. And no other human being who can understand your heart fully. And there's a loneliness about that. So that's the first thing I want to say. I think there are many different kinds of loneliness. The other observation I want to make is that, and I think you would agree, is that loneliness is no respecter of age or culture. It comes to every human being. Every human being has moments of loneliness. Children can be very, very lonely. I was reading yesterday, I was deeply struck by this. I was reading a guy by the name of Jean Vanier, someone that I read a lot of, and he has spent his whole life working with profoundly disabled people, mentally disabled people. And he talks of going into a hospital, I think it was in India, where there were hundreds of abandoned children, babies, who were very mentally disabled. And he said what struck him as he walked into this hospital, it was totally silent. Totally silent. That these babies had stopped crying because they knew that no one would respond to their cry. They had stopped crying. The loneliness of just being an adult sometimes. I was talking to someone who works for East Rand Lifeline. Lifeline is that telephone ministry. And they get thousands of calls each month. And this person was telling me, this telephone counselor, that top of the list, this is kind of in suburban East Rand, top of the list, people phoning in, they're lonely. And they phone Lifeline simply to hear another human voice and to talk with someone. The loneliness sometimes of just being a young mother. Just got children for company and your husband goes off to work early in the morning and he comes back late and he says, well, you know, work is heavy, but don't believe him. He just can't handle cries and children and nappies. A young mother was telling me the other day, she said, you know, I don't have adult conversation anymore. So she decided to take her husband out for a night and got a babysitter, booked a nice table, nice restaurant where it wasn't too loud so they could really engage in adult conversation. And as they were driving out for their date to have adult conversation, they had to cross a railway line. And she turned to her husband and said, darling, just watch out, the chook-chook is going to come quite soon. The loneliness of getting old. I guess the question is, hey, we all know moments like this. How do we grow in loneliness? Because loneliness can make us do some terrible things. Some of us drink a lot because we're just so lonely. Some of us get involved in very, very destructive relationships just for the sake of some contact with someone. Some of us stay in destructive relationships because we prefer that to being on our own. But loneliness can also be very creative. Some of the great artists and prophets and poets were people who experienced profound loneliness. But somehow it was creative. They lived through it. So what I did yesterday, in fact, was I just read the Gospels again. I was reading about Jesus. And there were just things that, as I reflected on Jesus, just things that became clearer to me that I wanted to share with you very simply this morning, that I think may help us, especially if we're in a space of loneliness, that may help us to live creatively rather than destructively. And I just want to share them with you. I think the first thing that I learned, and I think for me it's the main thing, is that we really are able, I think, to handle loneliness and live through it when we know, when we really know that we are God's beloved. That's what Jesus knew. Jesus had moments of deep loneliness. I read to you one of those moments, the Garden of Gethsemane, going to the cross. No other human being understood what he was going through in that moment. We are told that he sweated blood. He was in anguish. His closest friends fall asleep. And sometimes our deepest loneliness is not when we're on our own. It's when we're surrounded by friends who don't understand. And that was Jesus' experience in that moment. And he prays for this cup to be taken away from him. And it isn't taken away from him. But somehow he keeps going. And he keeps going because when he speaks to God, what does he say? He says, Father, Abba. He knows that he is Abba's beloved son. He knows that in his heart. And so somehow, even in the moment of loneliness, he's able to keep going. Huh? I think one of the terrible tragedies today in churches is that churches sometimes are filled with people who don't know that they're God's beloved. I was down in Durban, never forget this, and I was in a very charismatic Pentecostal church. Lovely church, wonderful church. And we sang and we praised God for about, for about an hour. It was wonderful. I think that's why people fall over there so often. They're so tired. It was wonderful. Just wonderful. And you know what it's like, alive and vibrant. And I spoke about being God's beloved. And I thought they would all know they were God's beloved. And at the end of the service, I said, if there's anyone here who doesn't know that they're God's beloved, I would like you to come forward so I can pray with you. And I thought there may be one or two people. About three quarters of this congregation who had been singing about God's love, praying about God's love, came to the front. Somehow didn't know in their heart of hearts that they were God's beloved. And maybe you don't know that. Maybe you know it in your head, but not your heart. One of my favorite passages, and I hope you'll put it on the fridge and put it on a screensaver and memorize it. It's from Galatians, where Paul writes, he says, because we are sons and daughters, God sends the Spirit of His Son, Jesus Christ, into what? Not into our heads. Not into our heads. Into our hearts. And the Spirit calls out, Abba Father. And when our Spirit calls out, Abba Father, we know we are beloved. Beloved children. And it's in moments of loneliness, I think, that we need to know this most deeply. I've had many moments of loneliness. And it's in those moments I've needed to say, Jesus, will you send your Spirit into my heart that I may know that I am God's beloved. It gives us courage to keep going, I think, and to face what we've got to face. But the other thing that I learned from Jesus yesterday as I was going through the Gospels again is that I think we grow through loneliness when even in our loneliness we seek to be friends to others. When even in our loneliness we seek to be a friend to other people. And again, I see this in Jesus. Jesus had moments of deep loneliness. I told you about the one when he was in Gethsemane. I think of when he was on the cross. And he cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? Jesus knew what loneliness was all about. And yet, Jesus constantly sought to be a friend to others. I love this verse. It's one of my favorites. Those of you making notes, make a note of it. John chapter 15, verse 15, where Jesus says to, he says, I don't call you servants because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I call you friends. I call you friends. Jesus constantly sought to be a friend. He sought to be a friend. And he did it in a whole lot of different ways. Have you noticed how he did it in the Gospels? He spends time with those who are close to him. He goes on camping trips with them. He spends time with the 3 and with the 12 and with the 70. It's priority for him. I don't think friendships grow if we don't give time to them. And maybe there's someone here today who's lonely, and maybe Jesus is just saying to you, why don't you start just giving time again to cultivating a friend? My closest friends are a couple, Johan and Gail. We've been friends for over, I guess, about 30 years, almost every second Friday night. It's priority. We hang out together. We hung out on Friday night, and I just got back, and we just hung out. We just hung out. Great. Spoke about why lions keep losing. Spoke about the educational crisis in the country. Spoke about how we pray for parents who are dying. Deep, you know, it's just, and it's friendship. It's friendship. And some of us are working so hard, we just don't have time for friends anymore. A guy said to me the other day, he said, Trevor, you know, I've got so many acquaintances, so many business acquaintances, I don't have a friend. Huh? And Jesus gave time to friendships. Jesus, this struck me as well, Jesus built friendships by really taking an interest in other people. He wasn't so much trying to get people interested in him as he was interested in others. Have you noticed how often he asks questions? He asks people, what are you looking for? What are you seeking? Why are you crying? Do you want to get well? He's always interested in the other. And I think something happens that's very good when we stop trying to get other people to be interested in us. But when we genuinely, genuinely take an interest in others. I always find going to America interesting. You know, they've got this lovely greeting. And they're like, how you doing? Everyone I meet, how you doing? And as soon as I start telling them how I'm doing, they're gone. Just, how you doing? I start, gone. Just taking an interest in another person. The other thing that struck me about how Jesus grows friendships, have you noticed this? He keeps overlooking the faults of his friends. He overlooks the faults. He doesn't expect them to be perfect. If Jesus expected his friends to be perfect, Jesus would have had no friends. They kept letting him down, but he didn't give up on them. He doesn't give up on them. Huh? I think sometimes we look for the perfect friend and the perfect church. I often say, if you find the perfect church, don't join it. You're going to spoil it. Huh? But I think there's a word here for us that in moments when I'm alone, I hear Jesus saying to me, Trevor, reach out to someone in friendship. Reach out to someone. Seek to be a friend. Give time to it. Take an interest. Overlook imperfections. And somehow, as I seek to be a friend, God helps me to live through those moments when I'm just very, very alone or feel alone. The last thing I want to say is this. I think we grow through loneliness when we let other people know who we are. When we let other people know who we are. Who we are. Go back to that. Just go back for a moment to John chapter 15, verse 15. I only spotted this a few months ago. I no longer call you servants because a servant does not know his master's business. I've called you friends, this is Jesus speaking, for everything that I've learned from my Father, I've made known to you. Jesus made himself known to others. He let others get to know him. He shared what was on his heart with others. I think it was last year or the year before, I'm not sure. I went away with 20 men. We went away for 48 hours. And I'll never forget a conversation. One of the sessions we had was on friendship. And one of the guys said, and I'll never forget his word, he said, Trevor, you know, I've got two faces. I've got two faces. I've got my public face. It's the face I show at work, the face that I show in my family, the face that people see in my Facebook pictures. That's my one face. But I have another face that no one knows. That no one knows. And on that retreat, I never forget, he began speaking about his other face. The face of fear. The face of inadequacy. Of longing. Of dreams. And I watched a man who had hidden himself for so long, just beginning to let others get to know him a little bit. And I watched him stepping out of loneliness a little bit. Has this been helpful, friends? Huh? Loneliness is something that is so, so deep today. I've almost got a hunch that if Jesus were to come into Johannesburg and walk through our suburbs, he would say, come unto me, come to me, those of you who are lonely. Come to me, come to me. Come to me, get involved with me, because I want to show you how to live beyond loneliness. And I pray that today, that as we've lifted Jesus up again, that you'll come to him. That you will let him tell you who you are. I can't tell you who you are. Only Jesus can. He'll send his spirit into your heart. And from your heart you cry out, Abba Father, to know that you're God's beloved. He shows us how to be a friend. He shows us how to be a friend. And then he challenges us to let others get to know who we are. So may God bless you, friends, as we think about these things. My prayer, and I've been praying this most of yesterday, and I prayed it at about 3 o'clock this morning when my jet lag woke me up again. I was just praying that today God would somehow speak to someone who was struggling deeply with loneliness. And I pray that that will happen. Let's pray together. Lord, we speak about deep things. Things that sometimes we don't speak about during the week. And we ask, Lord, that today, that wherever we may be, maybe some of us, Lord, today are not lonely.
Will you help those of us who are not lonely to be very aware of those who are lonely? And those of us, Lord, who perhaps today are really battling with loneliness in a very, very deep way, Lord, will you come to us by the power of your Spirit? And will you renew in us our sense of being your children, of being your beloved? Will you show us, Lord, how to be a good friend? And will you give us courage to begin, Lord, with people that we can trust, maybe? Will you give us courage to let others know who we are? And so, Lord, will you lead us through our lonely moments, that we may grow through them, be creative in them, and be a blessing also to others? This is our prayer. In the name of Jesus we pray, and we say together this morning as God's people, Amen. Amen. May God bless you, friends. Take care. God bless.